Thank you, Brad, for leading us in those songs. Thank you, Daniel, for that prayer. I want to say just a word or two, maybe as explanation. If you were not here Wednesday night, you heard Daniel this morning make reference to our Sunday school program in his prayer, and I'm glad that he did. As we announced Wednesday night, we're making some changes to our Sunday school program. And over the next few weeks and months, those changes will be brought in and put in place. And it's time to start recruiting teachers for the winter quarter. And you may be approached by Derek or Lee to participate in teaching or helping in some way. And we hope that you will give them your full cooperation, and we hope that every single one of us can be involved in whatever way we can to help our Sunday school program, to help it keep growing, to help it do an even better job than it's doing right now, as Derek and Lee have agreed to bring in some ideas and some methods that are going to be a little bit new and different, but everything, of course, changes are always good as long as they are within the confines and boundaries of God's will, and we have every bit of confidence that anything that we do will be done with that in mind. And so give them your cooperation and help them in this undertaking that they have agreed to take on. We're so happy to have folks joining us by means of the internet, watching our live stream worship service. If you're ever laid up and not able to come to assemble here in this place, that's always an option, always a good asset to be able to, in that way, participate with us in our service, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the men here who work to make sure that things are able to work in that way. And so if you ever have need of that service, please take advantage of it. Have you ever been too late? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Too late. It's probably a very familiar concept to more of us than we'd like to admit. You know, the very idea of late is based on our understanding of definite times. In other words, if you're late for an appointment, it means that there was a definite time that you were supposed to be there. And if you didn't get there at that time, then you were late. And sometimes you may be too late. There is a place of business that I was visiting not too long ago, and they have a sign up that says, if you have an appointment, we expect you to be here at the time of your appointment, and if you are 10 minutes late, your appointment must be rescheduled. In other words, if you miss your appointment by 10 minutes, then you're too late. You know, I think, honestly, that's a very liberal policy. I'd be more inclined to draw the line right at that time, whatever the time is. If it's a 9 o'clock appointment and you're not there at 9 o'clock, regardless of when you get there, then you're too late. Fortunately, everybody doesn't take the same view that I do of things like that, and so there's a little bit more grace involved in various policies and programs. But I think we all understand what it means when we say someone was too late. Quite frankly, there are some things that we don't mind being late for. But other things are pretty serious business. I've missed a few airline flights because I was too late. It's a real thing to run out of time for whatever reason and miss a very important appointment or event. We've even got a list of synonyms for the idea of being late. Synonyms like last minute, his last minute arrival, or running behind, straggling, belated, 11th hour. And then there's my favorite, missed the boat. Not really any boats involved in the matter, usually, but we know very well what someone refers to when they say, well, you've missed the boat. God's Word warns us often about being too late in spiritual concerns. The passage that Doug read to us a few minutes ago from John chapter 5 is one of those places in Scripture that reminds us that something is coming for which we dare not be too late. And so God warns us over and over again about being too late in spiritual concerns. And in the process, God also reminds us that there are some real causes for being too late. Causes like delay and procrastination. Maybe the failure to properly prepare. Or perhaps allowing things of this world to distract and to mislead us away from the true goals of righteousness. The clear and distinct message that we have from Scripture is that salvation is urgent and the future is very unpredictable. Passages like Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, which says, "Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 is another similar passage where Paul says, "And working together with him, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, 'At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" 2 Peter 3, verse 10 is a familiar passage that reminds us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in the which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. In Luke chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, the Lord says, "Be sure of this, if the head of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed the house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." And then the last one on my list here is the one Doug read to us a few minutes ago from John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, where Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Suffice it to say that whether it's a matter of earthly concerns or, and especially, spiritual matters, to realize that we have wasted our time, put it off, failed to prepare, or even became distracted, and now it is too late, can be physically frustrating, but it can also be spiritual disaster. We need to be careful that we are not too late. Now, the rest of our time this morning, I'd like for us to spend in Luke chapter 16 as we consider some things from a very familiar story, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, as we call it. It's a story that most of us remember well. It's a very simple story that Jesus told to illustrate the finality of death and the importance of making proper preparation for our eternal destiny. This is the story about a man who was too late. The rich man in this story was very wealthy. Jesus implies in this story that he lived a selfish life in his prosperity. No concern for others. The second man in the story, Lazarus, Jesus describes as a very poor man, but obviously a good man. Lazarus lived in the most destitute of conditions there at the rich man's gate. I want us to take up reading with verse 22 and finish the story as Jesus tells it. Jesus said, "The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side." And that's the English Standard Version. You're accustomed to seeing to Abraham's bosom. I noticed one translation even had Abraham's lap. The idea is the same. I like the English Standard Version, which says, "carried him to Abraham's side." The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things. Lazarus, in like manner, bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." We're not talking about a missed airline flight here. This is not a situation where somebody has neglected some detail and thereby missed out on getting some kind of great windfall of money or some prize of some sort or some great earthly return because they just simply missed a deadline. This is about missing heaven. And now it's too late to do anything about it. It may very well be that you are among those who are going to be too late. Perhaps because of delaying. Maybe because of putting off something that needs attention. Or maybe the failure to properly prepare. Or because maybe you've let the wrong things influence you to put too much emphasis on those things in your life and not enough emphasis on the things of God. Whatever the case may be in each of our lives, we dare not delay or wait or make the wrong choices because one day it will be too late. The fact is, it's not hard at all to look at this man's example and see the choices that he was faced with while he was alive. It's also very obvious that he made the wrong choices. But the thing that we need to pay attention to is the amazing thing that it's amazing how well these same choices or decisions that he made correspond to our own lives as well. For example, he had the choice of caring for others or caring only for me. And while Jesus' story doesn't give us a great deal of detail, we understand from examining the entire story and seeing what happened, he obviously chose to care only for himself. And that only the physical things about himself. The man obviously had the choice of grasping everything that he could get for himself, or sharing what he could get with others. And apparently he chose the first option. That everything he had and could get, obviously, was for himself. And he never gave any regard to sharing with someone who had need. He had the choice of thinking only of himself, or thinking of God. And apparently he chose only to think of himself. As we look carefully at what happened to this man, and we acknowledge the realization that he came to, the realization that with everything else, it was now too late. Let's look at a few things that he realized. First of all, I would suggest to you that he realized that the torments of hell are very, very real. But he only realized it at a time when it was too late to do anything about that. Jesus said in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he saw Abraham far away and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. You know, the Bible does a very good job of telling us in great detail, more than we're actually comfortable with knowing, about how bad hell is going to be. But the fact is, there are so many people who just simply don't believe it. Or maybe they say, I believe that and I'm going to do something about that one day. Maybe that was this man's approach. Maybe his idea was, there's time enough yet. But in Jesus' story here, he realizes in the truest sense how bad hell really was, and it was too late. Secondly, I would suggest to you that he realized that hell is a place of separation from all that is good. But he realized that only after it was too late to do anything. You know, actually, he didn't ask for much, did he? Just basically a drop or two of water to cool his tongue. I mean, how bad would it have to be that you would see something so minuscule as a couple of drops of water as being a great relief? And yet, as small as what he asked for was, he realized after Abraham's answer to him that there is no relief available. There is no good that can be requested. There is not a single thing that can bring about any kind of relief when one is in hell. Verse 26, Jesus said that Abraham told him, between you and us there is a great chasm fixed, a great separation, a great void, so that anybody who wants to come over from here to you will not be able, and no one can come from there to here. Separation from every single thing that is good. He realized that in hell there is no second chance. There is no doubt that countless numbers of people have lived on this earth and have sinned away their lives and have squandered the opportunities to straighten things out and make peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And they've reached the end of their lives hoping and praying that there could be maybe one more opportunity to obey the gospel. But when you're ushered into eternity, you will never have another invitation extended to you. You will never hear another gospel sermon that will do any good. Another invitation song will never be sung. And there is no place to go between this life and the next one to do anything about your soul's salvation. When life comes to an end here on this earth, all opportunity is gone. And at that time, it is absolutely too late. Number four, I would suggest to you that this man realized that someone other than himself was important. He came to the realization that the souls of others are important, but there wasn't anything that he could do. He realized it too late. He begged Abraham, send Lazarus back to my father's house, for I have five brothers. And let him warn them so that they won't come to this place as well. But the fact is, it was too late for him to be thinking of any ways to help anyone, even his own family members. It was too late. And then finally, This man realized that God really does mean what he says. That God really does mean what he says. You know, the fact that he evidently didn't believe that before explains so much in this world of the diverse religious belief where people evidently just simply don't think that God really does mean what he says. The man in Luke 16 there, if he could speak to us today, he would say, you better believe that God really does mean what he says. You'd better take him at his word. Because you see, it was too late. I don't know, perhaps you're headed for a situation where spiritually it's going to be too late. Is it because you are purposefully delaying, procrastinating in doing what you know needs to be done? Perhaps you've put off making the right preparations because you're so busy, you've got other things, you've got 100 reasons why this isn't a good time. Or maybe you've let the world distract you. The result of that kind of distraction is that this is not that big a deal. In Psalm 119, verse 60, the psalmist says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Now you understand the entire book of Psalm 119. We call it a chapter. The entire chapter is all about the importance of God's word, God's instruction, God's law, God's precepts, God's commands. And there in the middle of all of that, the psalmist says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. The hour is coming. And it will be an hour in which everything will have been settled. And it will be too late for everything. And not only that, but it could be as soon as today, or perhaps tomorrow. It's an old song that we sing sometimes. And it says, tomorrow will be too late. Don't be too late, for the hour is coming. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, by believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sin and confessing your faith in Him and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, why not do it today? Because tomorrow may be too late. If you've done that, but you haven't been faithful as a servant of God, and your unfaithfulness to Him, if it's private, it needs to be straightened out between you and God privately. But if it's something that's been observed by those around us, public in nature, we would say, you need to publicly acknowledge that and let it be known that you're not going to walk in that way any longer. God wants to receive you and forgive you and restore you. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, don't wait until it's too late. Come now as we stand together and sing.